My text this morning is one that that I like, almost impossible for me to do. I hope that you don't have to say the same thing. I waited patiently on the Lord. I waited patiently on the Lord. Now, I'm about one of the most impatient people that you see, and you all know that. When it comes to the church services, I want to give you every opportunity to participate. I always say to you that at any point in time that you feel the Spirit of the Lord moving in your heart, I want you to allow Him to have His way with you. But I will tell you, I'm not going to stand up here and beg you and drag services on. When it's over as far as I'm concerned. And I've operated that way for years. But I always hope that the church understands that I don't run the show, so to speak. But I find sometimes it's pretty difficult for me to be patient. I want the Lord to do things kind of on my time frame instead of His. I'm always in a hurry for the Lord to hurry up and save someone, just to give you a good example. You know, I have difficulty, and especially when people start looking at you and say, well, what are you going to do, preacher? What are you going to do? That person's down there, they're lost. What are you going to do? Well, I learned a long time ago, I've always known, I can't save them, so you just well quit looking at me if you think that I've got the magic thing there. I want them to be saved. If I had my way, we'd get everybody saved, stand, we'd go home, we wouldn't even have to bother to come back again. And that'd be all right with me. But I don't get my way. The Lord's way is a perfect way. His plan is a perfect plan. His time is perfect. Timing is perfect. And His time is perfect too. And so I have to recognize that His ways are as high as the heavens above the earth from mine. And He knows what He's doing. A lot of the time, I just think I know what I'm doing. Sometimes I'm right. A lot of times I'm wrong. But one of the things that I have learned over the years is that He's going to carry out His work. And it will be done, He says in His word, that everything will be fulfilled to a jot and to a tittle. And it will be just as He wanted. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, when I start running ahead of the Lord, that's when I get in trouble. When I decide that I'm going to do some things on my own or the way that I think they ought to be done, I'll get myself in trouble. Sometimes I think maybe I do know. And sometimes I do, but I just need to wait on Him. We forget sometimes just how dependent we truly are upon the Lord. And as Joyce mentioned, every single one of us have many things to be thankful for this morning, many things that we take for granted. But what a wonderful privilege it is to be one of His children and to be able to allow Him to lead us. And He will lead us if we will allow Him to. But sometimes we have to wait on Him and not run ahead of Him. Because just as sure as I'm standing here, when we run ahead of Him, we'll get ourselves in trouble. And we'll make some mistakes. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Patience is a virtue that sometimes I'm pretty short on. In some things I'm fairly patient, but in a lot of things I'm not. I always would like to see the Lord's work going just a little faster than it is, progressing just a little more than it does. But I understand that He knows what He's doing better than I do. Now listen to what He said. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. How thankful I am that I learned a long time ago that you can't just try once, and if it don't work, say I'll never do it again. I don't know how many times over the years, I've heard people, I've heard churches say that very thing. Well, we tried it once and it didn't work. If I'd have just tried once, whenever the Lord was dealing with my heart when I was lost, I'd still be lost then. Still be lost. If I'd have just tried once and said, well, I didn't get it. No use to try again. Let me tell you something. Most of us know from experience that a lot of the things that we do for the first time are not nearly as successful or as good as after we have done them a little while. Repetition sometimes gets involved. Our skills improve at whatever it is it may be. Now, for some of us who are getting older, our skill levels are maybe not what they used to be. But we still have them. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I want you to listen to what the psalmist said the Lord did for me. He said, He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and placed my feet upon a solid rock and established my goings. The writer Paul, writing to the young preacher Timothy, I believe it was, said, be not tossed to and fro with every wind and doctrine. We sometimes need to be established in what we believe and what we practice. I tell people many times that we often need to just stop and think about what we're doing and then why we are doing it. We may know what we're doing, but sometimes I'm not sure we know why we're doing things. Many times it's because that's the way we've always done it. And often that's not good enough, folks. Not good enough. If you don't know any more than that's just the way it's always been done, we're not very sharp on what we need to be doing. And that doesn't matter whether that's church or out here just in our daily lives. I kind of like to know sometimes why I'm doing some of the things I do. And quite honestly, as I begin to look at some of those things, I think, why am I doing them? But the Lord, whenever He redeemed us, whenever that He lifted us up out of the miry clay, out of the horrible pit, and placed our feet upon a rock, solid, and established our goings. Remember the psalmist said in another place, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. We delight in those things. Here the psalmist said that the Lord lifted me up, placed my feet upon a solid rock, established my goings. Now, this isn't all that He did. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. He hath put a new song in my mouth. I mentioned here a couple of weeks ago, you know, I don't care whether that you're on tune, off tune, in time or out of time. If you enjoy the singing and you want to sing, sing. I'll just give you scripture after scripture after scripture out of the psalmist here who says, let us sing. I know some of you not too much on singing, but that's all right. The word of the Lord teaches that we need to sing. We need to have something to sing about. I was listening to a program, well, it was Gaither last night, and he was saying that one of the best ways that you hear the harmony of a group, and he had his group there, and of course, you know, these guys are good. And he says, when we sing this song the first time and we harmonize it, he says, the best way that you can hear it is in the shower. Well, you know, we're not all going to get in the shower, but to sing. But it doesn't matter, you know. I think I mentioned that. I still do. You know, some of the songs, someone sitting there and says, my goodness, you know all those old songs. No, I don't really know all of them. Most of them I've heard. The last one that Karen sang this morning, I'd never heard before. Liked it. Had good words in it. The first one, I knew. I think it was long before it was a folk song. The folk songs are not much older than I am. Black spirituals are. I think that was a black spiritual. Anyway, we need to be able to sing the praise of the Lord. We need to be able to tell people about Him, and we need to do so. You know, there are songs I just say every once in a while. Once in a while, we're singing a funeral song. At least we make it sound like a funeral song. You know, when you think of a funeral song, you don't think about praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You think, oh. But listen, let me tell you something. We as a child of God have many things to thank Him for. We need to be able to praise Him. We need to have a happy heart. He said, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. There's nothing wrong with you being proud to be a child of God. We need to be proud. Now, not pride to the extent that we feel that we're better than someone else, but proud that God has been good and gracious to us and allowed us to become one of His children because we waited patiently upon Him. And He heard us, and He answered our prayer. And then He did some things for us. Many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to be are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. We sang the first song this morning, Count Your Many Blessings. How many of you here can count all your blessings this morning? How many of you think you can begin to count all the blessings? How many of you here this morning think you could just count the blessing of today? The psalmist said, you know, that his blessings, His goodness, is far beyond any number. Ah, if we just thanked Him and praised Him every day. Oh, we put. You know, even I thought that last week as I was thinking about, okay, it's Sunday morning, Sunday before Thanksgiving. You know, they're going to expect a Thanksgiving message. Well, why should it be any different than any other Sunday? Why should not every Sunday be a Thanksgiving message? Why should not every Sunday be a time? Why should not every day be a day when we say, thank You, Lord? Man, I'll tell you what. I've got any more till every morning before I get up. I say, thank You, Lord, that You've given me another day. And I mean that in sincerity. I've not always done that because I just made the assumption, no, I'm going to have another day. Now then, I say, thank You, Lord, that You've given me another day. Yeah, that may not seem like much to some of you, but that means a lot to me just to be here another day. We all are blessed beyond measure. We all have so much to be thankful for. Now listen. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Remember, this is Old Testament. Those people had all kinds of rituals that they had to go through whenever that they had sinned and whenever they had failed, which involved sacrifices. Looking and pointing toward the time when the supreme sacrifice would be made. But the psalmist said, that isn't what the Lord wants. Do you know what He really wanted? The wise old man Samuel had told us what the Lord wanted. Samuel said, to obey is better than sacrifice, and hearken than the fat of rams. What is he saying? When you make a sacrifice, you're coming and you're saying, forgive me. Boy, I've sinned. You know what? The Lord would much rather be able to bless you because you've been obedient. He much rather would bless you and you being able to come and say thank you than having to come and say, I'm sorry, Lord. I've messed up again and I need your forgiveness. Now, granted, He gives forgiveness. He does grant forgiveness. And I'm thankful for that He does. But what He really wants out of me and you is for us to obey Him in the first place. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then I said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Remember what I quoted earlier? The psalmist said, His delight is in the law of the Lord. We should delight in His word. We should be thankful that He has left us His word, that we have it to study and a guide for each one of us. That we can, we've got something, you know, you don't need a preacher. You don't need a church to be able to tell you how you should live. You have the word of the Lord that tells you if you'll read it, if you'll study it, and you'll understand. Now, do we need those other two for other things? Yes, absolutely. But every single one of you is a child of God. What a wonderful privilege it is that we can pick this up and we can read it and we can study it for ourselves. That we can have His word. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. I waited patiently on the Lord. I want to read you something else. I'm going to read you two more scriptures that pertains to waiting. One is very familiar to you. The other one probably is if you think about it. Isaiah, the great old prophet, in the 40th chapter and the 31st verse said this, but they that wait upon the Lord, think about that. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord. Psalmist said, I waited patiently upon Him. Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Renew our strength. Yeah, whenever sometimes that, whether it's physically or spiritually or both, and we're weak, if we can wait upon the Lord, He will strengthen us. He does strengthen us. He said, not only that, He said, they shall mount up with the wings as eagles. Most all of you know, it's no big secret that Bill and I fish a little. But one of the pleasures that we both share, and I don't think I'm wrong in this, but we do, and some of the rest of you too, is that quite often as we're out fishing, we see the eagles. And it's pretty common anymore. But I never cease to be amazed at the beauty of those eagles and the gracefulness of them as they are in flight. What an impressive sight this is. They shall mount up with wings as the eagle. My goodness, I want you to know what God can do for each one of us is absolutely amazing. What He will do for us if we will allow Him. They shall run and not be weary. I the other day, I don't remember what it was, I decided I need to take a little run for something. And I wasn't out here running a mile or anything. Please don't go out here saying, well, that crazy preacher is out there. I'm smarter than that. But I didn't run very far, Greg, until I was huffing and puffing. And I was just thinking, man, you know what? I really am out of shape, you know. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. They that wait upon the Lord. Yeah, got to wait on Him sometime. One more, and then I'm going to close. This is the old fella Job, who had such an interesting life. I just finished reading Job again recently here. I go back and read him every once in a while. I just had finished reading, but it reminded me that Job said something in one of his sayings. And he said this in the 14th chapter and the 14th verse. If a man die, shall he live again? I've heard my pastor. You know, I told someone the other day, I don't have a pastor. I've only had probably one pastor in my life, I guess. Well, most of my life, I've never had a pastor. But I remember my pastor using this scripture many times. And I've heard him at a funeral many times say, if a man die, shall he live again? Now listen. And then Job answers it. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. All the days of my appointed time will I wait. Now let me tell you something this morning. You know what that said? Is it all the days of my appointed time? And we like to quote, it is appointed unto man once to die and after death of judgment. Let me tell you something even more better than that. As long as I'm here, I have a responsibility to wait upon the Lord. And as I wait, there's work for me to do. But there is a point out here that my time has already been set. And you pray for me all you want to and say everything you know to say, and I'll guarantee you when that time comes, I will keep that appointment. Yeah. Job said, if a man die, shall he live again? He said, yeah. He said, all the days of my appointed time. An appointed time. Every single one of us have an appointed time. We just don't know what that appointed time is. Not a one of you here do. None of us do. We don't know about anyone else either. I looked over as you were saying, count your many blessings, and I just looked down through the crowd at you, each one of you. I just physically, you know, was looking and saying, there are some of my blessings. Yeah, I mean that. You are. And I expect to see every one of you here next Sunday or the following Sunday. I don't expect to be called by Peterman up here and said, hey, one of your people are up here. No. But I will guarantee you this, every single one of us have an appointment that we're going to keep one of these days. There is an appointed time for each of us. Now, I know somebody going to say, well, now I believe we can change the Lord's mind because He did on one occasion. Well, let me tell you what. It was a little different occasion than what we're involved in today. I just hope that He gives me the grace to hold out to that appointed time. I hope that I can wait patiently upon Him. And that I don't get too impatient, because there are some times whenever that I do think, Teresa, that, hey, I'd like to kind of finish the journey and get it on over there. Yeah. But there's a reason that we're all here. And I hope that each one of us can realize that we are going to live again. That we will wait until our time comes. And that we will wait with patience.